isn't it? We're going to start from Hebrews 1. Hopefully over the next few weeks we'll do a bit of a series in the evening service on Hebrews. We'll see what happens, but we'll start with Hebrews 1 today. It says this: in the past God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he also made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of his majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. Fantastic. It's a good passage, isn't it? It's a good passage. I really like Hebrews. I think it's a good book. I don't really understand most of it. But to me, the book of Hebrews speaks to me, and especially this first bit, I really like it. And the reason's this, that the author to the Hebrews is writing to a Jewish audience. And these are people who know their scriptures well. They have been well-versed in the traditions of Judaism. And the author to the Hebrews comes along and he says, guys, you know so much great stuff. You've known good stuff for a long time. You've got a tradition and a deep-rooted spirituality. And now let me introduce you to something so much better. Let me introduce you to Jesus. And I know that if you're like me, I know a lot of the Bible. I've been kicking around churches for quite a long time. I've got quite a good understanding of what God's like. But when I come back to the Bible, when I pray to God, there's always so much more. And tonight, no matter how long you've been coming to church, I hope that tonight you find something so much more amazing that you find a bigger revelation of Jesus, which is what they do in Hebrews. So I was reading through this passage a couple of times. I don't know why I pointed up there. That's still just that slide. I should know. I made the PowerPoint. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets and many times in various ways. I read it through a couple of times. There were a few key words I pulled out. One of the words was creation, because God creates all of the universe through Jesus and for Jesus. So creation was one of them. Tradition was another word that came to mind. And then at the end, kind of sanctification at Jesus, with Jesus. Now, we're going to start with the first one, which is creation. Now, I am no Louis Giglio. Put your hands up if you know who I'm talking about, Louis Giglio. Okay, most of you, excellent. He's an American preacher. He is really good at talking about creation. And I know what you need to do to be good at talking about creation. You need a rich American accent that allows you to be slowly inspired. You need an amazing PowerPoint, which I haven't got tonight. Don't worry, I've got a PowerPoint. I'm not a heretic, but it's not amazing. You need some wonderful pads that slowly crescend into a tear-jerking moment of awe-inspiring inspiration. And I haven't got any of those. I'm no Louis Giglio. But never mind. If you would like to watch Louis Giglio, YouTube him. Indescribable, how great is our God. They're fantastic, but they're 50 minutes. And let's be honest, we all want to get to the pub by 8 o'clock. So I'm going to give a 5-minute condensed, maybe 10, 5-minute condensed version of some of Louis Giglio's stuff. I didn't nick all of it from him because he just talks about the universe. This passage tells us, the Hebrews teaches us, that God created the universe through Jesus and for Jesus. And sometimes, if you're like me, if I want to get a bigger view of what God is like, I just look up to the stars. Because as I realize quite how big and amazing and awe-inspiring this creation is, I realize how good and amazing and big and awe-inspiring the Creator is. Psalm 19 tells us, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. So as we look at this stuff for the next few minutes, just remember that what are these stars doing? They are proclaiming and declaring how great is God, how glorious is his name. Here's my first picture. So you might not be able to see it quite so clearly. That's where we live. I would describe it as our local neighborhood in terms of the universe. So what we've got here is this is the Milky Way. Well done if you remembered that from science class. So this is where we live. We live on the Earth. Hopefully you're aware of this. And we live within the solar system. So hopefully you remember from school, my very effective memory just stored up 9 planets. Yeah, we know this. Mercury, Venus. We learnt yesterday at the quiz, Mercury's not the hottest planet. Is it, Ben? Why is it not the hottest planet? It's mostly just ash, no atmosphere, can't keep the heat in. Venus, I said that in my quiz team, they shunned me. And we lost a point, not that I'm bitter. So, we're in this solar system and we orbit around our sun. Now, the sun is massive. There can be fit like a million Earths inside the sun. It's a huge ball of exploding gas, the equivalent of millions of nuclear bombs going off every second. And the Earth and the planets orbit around this star. Here's the image of the Milky Way. 200 years ago, we invented radio as a race. That was a brilliant idea, because now we can listen to Radio 6, which we all know is the best radio station. Craig Charles, Funk and Soul Show, Saturday night. Yeah, best thing on radio. Actually, that's a digital radio station, so that analogy doesn't work. So, we invented radio 200 years ago. And since that time, 200 years ago, radio waves have been emitting out of... I promise this is theological. We'll get there in a second. It's been emitted out of the Earth at the speed of light. Now, light travels really, really fast. 300 million meters per second. Every single second, 300,000 kilometers. It goes around the Earth 7 times every single second. So 200 years ago, we began emitting radio waves at the speed of light. So I thought I would show you on this picture just how far light has travelled in those 200 years. It's basically 200 light years if you're into your physics. This is the Milky Way, and that's how far it's got. By the way, it's not the box. It's that bit there. We couldn't quite show you on the thing. 200 years, radio waves coming out at the speed of light. And that's how far it's got. The universe is really, really, really big. I love what Louis Giglio says about this. He says the universe is far too big for humans, but it's still too small for God. And as Hebrews tells us, the universe has been created by Jesus and for Jesus. As we realize quite how awe-inspiringly massive the universe is, it reminds us quite how big and powerful and awe-inspiring God must be. Because the scriptures tell us that God can name every single star by name. In the Milky Way, they reckon there are about 100 billion stars. That's 100 billion things like our sun. And we can see here, they go in this swirly shape. I'll show you one more image. NASA decided to take the Hubble Space Telescope and they pointed it at the darkest and blackest bit of the night sky. They didn't think they'd find much. And they left it for the longest exposure we've done a photograph for. They took it over, I think it was about 8 times around the Hubble Space Telescope orbiting around the Earth. Same spot, darkest spot on the night sky. They didn't think they'd find much. And they found that. That's the darkest bit on the night sky. God's big. By the way, they're not stars. Each one of those is a galaxy like that. That's the darkest bit of the night sky. They reckon there's 10,000 galaxies within that. Astronomers now think there's about 100 billion galaxies in the known universe, each of them having about 100 billion stars that are like our own. God is seriously, seriously big. And the scriptures say he knows every single one of the stars by name, and he counts every hair on your head. Sometimes, if we want a bigger picture of Jesus and a bigger picture of God, it's good to have a bigger picture of creation, because it is seriously awe-inspiring. Creation is amazing. Hebrews says that the universe was created by Jesus and for Jesus, and it points us to a massive and awe-inspiring God. The first thing Hebrews says, though, is in the past God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. Now, if we want to see God break through in amazing ways, sometimes the first thing we've got to do is look backwards. Because it says that you know that God has already spoken to you. He has already spoken to your ancestors at many times and in various ways. The thought struck me this week that I've got a faith because someone before me had a faith. And they had a faith because someone before them had a faith. And they had a faith because someone before them had a faith. And I stand at the end of a really long chain of people who were passionate about Jesus, who put the kingdom of God first and told someone about it. And I'm at the end of that chain of history and tradition. And I can say, I love Jesus because of what he has done throughout human history. A couple of years ago, I had the privilege of going to India, which was a fantastic experience. And we went to Chennai, and it was brilliant, and the food was delicious. And just outside Chennai, we went to this place, which is a temple, and a tour guide took us round. I won't do the accent, because it makes me sound like I'm canvassing for Plaid Cymru, rather than I was born in Chennai. And he said, hello, sir. No, I'll stop. It's not helpful. And he took us to this spot, and it was the spot where Thomas was martyred in Chennai. And it blew my mind because I thought, what do you mean Thomas was martyred here? I'm in India. I've just walked past a shrine to Ganesh. I can't get a beef sandwich for love nor money because you don't kill cows. This is not a Christian place. What do you mean Thomas was martyred here? When Shane Claiborne, whose books have inspired me, as I know they've inspired a lot of people in this room, went to Baghdad and met the bishop, he was amazed at how many Christians there were in Iraq. And the bishop replied, you Christians in America didn't invent Christianity, you just domesticated it. Because from the Coptic Christians in Egypt to the Armenian Catholics, the Korean Baptist Church to the Greek Orthodox, the Methodist Church of India to the Czech Hussite Church, all around the globe, people are glorifying God. Every pulsar and supernova and star lives to serve and honor the glory of God. And all around this globe, people of different tribes and colors and traditions unite in honoring Jesus. Because we're not just part of quite a small planet in a very, very big universe made by a very, very big God. We are also part of a massive church that has got a rich history, that has been steeped by generations of men and women and God who inspire me to follow Jesus. Because when the writer to the Hebrews wants to introduce new amazing things, the writer to the Hebrews says, look at creation. Isn't it incredible? He says, look at tradition. Isn't it amazing? And then he says, it's all about Jesus. The beauty of creation, the inspiration of our tradition, all of it points to a rabbi who lived 2,000 years ago. As amazing as the planets Alpha Centauri and the stars that we've just seen are, as inspirational as St. Thomas or Mother Teresa or any of the great men and women who have gone before us are, none of them have anything to say about what your life looks like on Tuesday. To be honest, the sun just doesn't care what you do on Tuesday. Because we don't stop there. Those things all point towards the person of Jesus. The person of Jesus who does care about what you do on Tuesday. The person of Jesus who does want to speak to you tonight. The message of the first bit of Hebrews is since the time you were born, God has been desperately trying to speak to you, even if you didn't know it. God, who knows your name as well as every star in the universe, has been definitely, desperately trying to encounter you and communicate with you and reveal himself as looking like Jesus to you. He's done it through creation. He's done it through the prophets. And now he does it through Jesus. So tonight, as we worship together, I hope that creation can remind us that we're not the most important things in the world. I hope that the tradition and history can remind us that Kingsland Church or the latest Christian book or album isn't the most important thing in the world. But we can realize that actually all of this just points to Jesus. I just want more of him. And he can't be a God I put in my pocket and pull out once a week. This awe-inspiring, this fascinating and creative and powerful God demands everything of me. That's how the writer to the Hebrews starts the book. It's where I'm going to finish tonight. Dan, Charity and the band, if you want to come up and help us worship this incredible God, that would be great. If you'd like prayer this evening for anything at all, then please come up. The people who normally do prayer, if you could like come up and make yourself available somewhere over here, that would be brilliant. But let's worship the God who is so worthy of everything that we can possibly offer. If you want to stand, I'm going to pray. People will be up the front here to pray for people. If you would like that, it'd be great. God, I thank you that the greatest revelation we have of you is the God who looks like Jesus. I thank you that if we don't see it in Jesus, then it's not in you. God, I'm sorry if I've made you too small. I'm sorry if I thought my dreams and visions of how to change my community were beyond the God I had put in a box. Tonight, God, I just want to say you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. I want to come with a thankful heart for my parents and my grandparents and my spiritual great-great-grandparents who paved the way for me to have a relationship with you, Jesus. I thank you that we are all part of something so much bigger than ourselves as we join with creation and the angels and the saints saying, worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come.